It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're glad you can be a student in this school. And what we're going to do today is part of our special feature that we do on Mondays, and hopefully this program is being aired on Mondays. What I do, I try to keep, these are recorded, and I try to stay about 2 months ahead of time, and sometimes things get off a little bit, and it's hard to predict 2 months ahead of time exactly what program is going to air when because of various changes that take place along the way. But this is intended to be for a Monday morning, and if this is not, we'll be correcting up as we go. But this special feature that we try to do on Mondays is that we read from the Rockcliffe Review. Now, this is the bulletin that is handed out on Sunday mornings at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And if you're ever visiting with us, you'll receive one of these. And it's generally, like most church bulletins, about announcements and things of interest to our specific congregation. But for every bulletin, I try to write an article. And often the things that are written in this bulletin have to do with a sermon that is going to be preached that day. And this day, I was writing about the Holy Spirit and His work, a topic about which there is so much confusion. And I know many of us are not satisfied with our understanding of the Holy Spirit and His work. But let me tell you this, this is how this article is going to end. You don't have to understand everything about this or even be satisfied with your own understanding. Our understanding concerning the Holy Spirit and His work ends where the Scriptures end. And there's just so much that is told to us, and we cannot go beyond that. But we can know this, that if we will do what the Holy Spirit has taught us to do in His Word, do it sincerely. Do it in truth. Do it with the heart. Do it in the way that the Spirit would have us do that. Then we will have all the spiritual blessings that are there for us, including all the things that we need from the Holy Spirit. Now listen how this goes from the Rockcliffe Review. The idea of God is the greatest thought that has ever entered the mind of man. In rational progression, all thoughts lead to this grand idea. On the only way to not believe in God is to stop thinking. It is through revelation that we learn that God is of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son is the most accessible. The Bible is written about the Son. Jesus said of Moses in John 5 in verse 46, He wrote of me. And the New Testament is saturated with the words Jesus and Christ. Through Jesus, we better understand the Father. Because Jesus said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, John 14:9. There is no statement of that kind about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, would guide the apostles into all truth. But then He said, He shall not speak of Himself, John 16:13. At the end of Revelation, the Spirit remains unseen. The English word Spirit does not bring the same image to our minds that the Hebrew word for spirit brings to the mind of a Jew, or that the Greek word for spirit brings to the mind of a Greek. In English, we associate the idea of spirit with ghost, and the old Bibles called the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. The apostles knew about ghosts. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, they cried out in fear, It is a spirit, Matthew 14:26. But that word for spirit is never used in reference to the Holy Spirit. The word used for the Holy Spirit, both in Hebrew and in the Greek, is a word that means both spirit and wind, or breath. Thus, when we read, The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, Genesis 1 and verse 2. We can conjure up an image of wind blowing across the surface of a dark sea. When Jesus gave up the ghost in John 19:30, we can readily associate that as occurring when Jesus breathed his last. When we read that all Scripture is given by the breath of God, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, we can associate that with the Scripture being given by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is like wind and breath in that He is both active and unseen. All we know about the Holy Spirit is that which is revealed in the Spirit's Word, and that is limited. Through the ages, men have combed through the Scriptures and made inferences about the Holy Spirit and His work from this limited information. They have derived various theories, doctrines, theologies, and imaginative speculations. The work of the Holy Spirit in conversion and in the subsequent maturing of sanctification remains controversial. Yet, through all the confusing noise, there are three things about which there is almost universal agreement. Number one, the Holy Spirit gave us the Word of God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth, John 16:13. Paul gave his words authority when he said, I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So number one, the Holy Spirit gave us the Word of God. Number two, in the days of Revelation, the Holy Spirit empowered men to perform miracles and signs and wonders to confirm that their words were of God. We read in Mark 16 and verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. So three things now. Number one, the Holy Spirit gave us the Word of God. Number two, in the days of Revelation, the Holy Spirit empowered men to perform miracles and signs and wonders to confirm that their words were of God. And now number three, the Holy Spirit works on the heart of man through His Word. David said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119 and verse 11. We are to receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. James 1 and verse 21. The Holy Spirit remains active and unseen in this work because the Word of the Spirit itself is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It is my conviction that the more we appreciate the fullness, the power, and the sufficiency of the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word, the less we will be enamored with the possibility of the Holy Spirit working in us through another means to supplement His work. We do not have to understand all things to know this. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Word of Christ. Ephesians 2:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And of the parallel passage, he explains, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Compare Ephesians 2:18 with Colossians 3 and verse 16. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, that does not just mean knowing your memory verse. This is letting the Word dwell in us as we meditate therein day and night, and dwell in us richly, because we come to an understanding and appreciation of its significance, and would dwell in us richly with all wisdom, because we know how to apply it in our lives. These are the words that transform us through the renewing of our minds, Romans 12 and verse 2. These words are the seeds through which the Spirit produces the fruits of the Spirit, in Galatians 5 and verse 22. Therefore, whether you are satisfied with your understanding of the Holy Spirit and His work or not, seek the power of the active unseen Spirit through the Word of the active unseen Spirit, and all things will be yours. Well, that's the example of the kind of things that are preached at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And we hope you'll come by sometime and visit with us. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our services. And particularly, if you've never visited, we invite you to visit our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We are calling this study a community heart-to-heart Bible study. And we give it that name because of a publication that we mail out to every home between Biola and McMinnville called House to House, Heart to Heart. When I visit the homes between those two little villages and cities, I find that this publication is well received in those houses, and some of you may have received this publication either from us or from some other source, and you know it is filled with good Bible teaching. And so on Wednesday evenings, we're using that the way we would use a Sunday school book or as a guide to let those thoughts guide us in our thoughts concerning the Bible. We look up every reference, and we don't depend on this little publication for authority, but the Bible itself is the standard by which we judge that publication. But we find it to be very wholesome and full of good teaching and a good guide to Bible study. And so we would invite you on Wednesday evenings to come by, particularly if you like this publication. And you'll be very welcomed and invited to participate with us as we study these things and discuss these things together. You will know you're gathered together with a group of people that love one another and love God's Word and that love you. Now, in the time remaining, I'm going to return to the study we've been having of Solomon. And we're almost through with that study, but there's a few things I want to read about Solomon at the close of this study. And we'll begin in 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 14. And I'll read as far as I can while the time is remaining. And as is our custom, we'll pick up that reading when we return on the next day. But in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 14, we read this. Jehovah raised up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain, that he had smitten every male in Edom. For Joab and all Israel remained there 6 months until he'd cut off every male in Edom, that Hadad fled, and certain of the Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt, and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, and apported him victuals, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. And the sister of Tahpenes bare him Genubath, his son, whom Tahpenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. We'll continue this in our next class.